Hello and welcome to the third edition of the SEA 365 sessions. For those of you who haven't listened before, this podcast series and LinkedIn series is really there to shine a spotlight on awesome partners, be they systems integrators or ISV partners in our channel. They're partners that we work with, but in the future we'll also have people from Microsoft and also customers coming onto the call to talk about what they've learned working and doing what we do. So on this episode, I'm really excited to have Ben Saxton. So I'll get Ben online as well. Here we go. And Ben is from Formpipe, who are an awesome partner. I'm going to let him explain a little bit more about what they do. So Ben, thank you very much for joining us.
Well, thank you for the invitation.
It's a bit of a reverse invitation. You invited me to your podcast, so it felt a little bit wrong not to invite you onto ours. So before I forget, and it is important, if you're interested in anything that Ben's talking about, in and around document management in particular, and he'll explain what he means by that, he's also got his own podcast, which is called Beyond the Document. So have a look on any of your podcasty type apps and look at Beyond the Document. Really well worth doing. And again, much like this podcast, it's not really there as a sales tool. It's more there to be educational and to really hear from different voices in the industry about things that hopefully you'll find interesting.
Hopefully. Yeah.
So, Ben, tell me a little bit more about you and Formpipe.
Yeah, sure. And thanks again, Richard, for the invitation. So, Formpipe Software, we are a market-leading output and document management software. A lot of people may know us by the product names of LaserNet or Autoform, but now as Formpipe, we offer our products in one single cloud platform. And really, we can work across all industries. We've got a particular focus in the ERP sector, especially with Dynamics, and we also work heavily in the banking sector. But we kind of do what we just said. It's output and document management. So it's the creation and distribution of the communication or document, and then it's also the storage and the retrieval of that. And you might have guessed, you know, it's not a particularly new area of the software industry. We've been around for a while. We're not a trendy new kid on the block. And so it's quite easy to define what we do. We work with clients who've got core platforms, whether that be an ERP or within banking, and we take their data out of that, and we generate accurate and attractive communications or documents that go out to their end client or maybe another organization. And we do that day in, day out, across the globe, and in great volume.
Yeah, and by the way, I forgot to mention at the beginning, if anybody is watching this live via LinkedIn, please add some comments. As I said to Ben, I was going to make a joke at the beginning of this podcast about whether or not Liz Truss would still be Prime Minister by the end of the podcast, but she unfortunately decided to resign just before this, so I can't even make that joke anymore. But please, if you can put in into the comments if you're listening, what you've done around document creation. So, because I've always found this bit really interesting, right? Which I grant the old joke that this is maybe not the sexiest topic. However, yeah. I've always thought it was really weird that we spend as an industry so much time creating these incredible ERP and CRM systems and back office systems in general. But we don't think that much about how we actually output that information in a way that our customers are going to take, right? So I've always thought it should be a really core part of a project, because in effect, without doing the output bit, it's not a lot of point having it, part of the system.
Yeah, and I'll talk a little bit around that today as well, because you're right, and often it gets left until the end because it's a natural transition, right? Output comes at the end. But yeah, you're probably doing it to either remain competitive or you're doing it because you're being told you have to do something in a certain way. So we fully agree, you know, and we wish the output and document aspects did come earlier on within a project.
Yeah. Cool. So So what kind of customers do you kind of work with? I know you mentioned sort of regulatory stuff being a big part of what you do.
Yeah, well, we can work in any industry. We're system agnostic, that's for sure. But definitely where there is a degree of regulation within an industry, then a full output management functioning product is a lot more impactful. So what I'm talking about here is that regulation is a constant, but it's also constantly changing. And regulation changes either due to technology or new versions, or often the world outside. Okay, that's having an impact on the way that we need to operate. So I thought to explain that a little bit better, I'd introduce one way that we do work, and that's within the utilities market.
Sure.
And we've all become experts. It's
really important at the moment.
So, you know, a lot more people are now taking notice of their actual retail statement. So you yourself, Richard, right? You must get a utilities bill probably every 3 months.
I try and ignore it when I can.
Well, we're the same. Yeah, you look at the big bold figure at the bottom.
Exactly, yeah.
And go to the pub. But the regulation dictates how those companies have to detail what energy usage at what rate is being a component of your ultimate charge. So that can change, and our clients have to be mindful of that. But then you look at the other complexity that a lot of people now will be energy producers themselves and putting things back into the grid. So then the calculation has to show that.
You mean if I've got like solar panels or something.
Exactly, yeah, exactly. Yeah, yeah. It's not just a one-way, for a lot of people, it's not just a one-way transaction anymore. But all of this has to be very clear on that quarterly statement going to the retail customer. I mean, then think about a business, right, which might have multiple different things going on. These things can become very involved. And that's where the core platform manages that. What our role is to then make sure that it's communicated correctly to the end client. And then often we'll have the marketing department of that company come in as well and say, well, Richard's using a lot of energy at between 6 and 9 p.m. at night. Let's show that in some kind of pie chart and try and improve his energy usage, try and be the right type of organization to help you save money and be greener. Yeah. And then also you might also have something like a conditional comment in the UK, often based around postcodes, where it might be, right, you live in that postcode, we're going to offer you home insurance as well, because that's another service that the organization will offer. So suddenly you've got a document or a communication, you know, it could either come electronically or still in your postbox, that is very involved but has to be very, very accurate and clear in the communication that it's showing. So we see that changing what we do a lot, because regulation will then impact on what we do, but then it also gives us a reason for being there. Okay, it's a reason why we want to use a product like ours.
So you're really using it not only as an output document, but also a way to extend the offerings to your customers, that kind of upsell and cross-sell stuff in there as well.
So many people do that. Yeah, you know, it could be, you think about something like buying wine. You know, it might be, well, you bought a bottle of this last year, why don't you buy a bottle of this instead? You know, and that kind of conditional thing, you can build that in. Yeah,
I'm only laughing because I'm thinking about my wine shop. No, I just walk past and he corners me.
On the counter, ready.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's a good man. Cool. All right, cool. So what other examples have you got about where customers are doing some interesting stuff with document outputs?
Yeah, a big one is digitization and the move to the cloud. Now, I'm acutely aware, okay, that this has been going on for 10, 15 years and we've all seen these projects already. But one big thing is, I'm not just talking here about changing the way that you host your system. So I'm not just talking about moving that to the cloud and saving on the resource and the cost aspect. I'm actually talking about embracing cloud technology. And on the other side of our business, within the banking side, we have a lot of clients moving through a digitization project as we speak. And the reason that they're doing that is they're probably moving from, you know, old, maybe mainframe systems that have been running an organization, a bank institution for 20, 25 years. And they now know that they need to go and embrace the new technology, probably to keep up with some of the challenger banks out there as well. And what pure cloud does give you, and open banking in that way, it enables you to go and select your core platform, which we all know is key, but then select ISVs that come in and complement that in the different areas that you want. And unfortunately, that's good for us as well. But it's very different to what you and I had maybe 20 years ago, when you write an RFI and then you go out and look for one vendor who could do all of those things. Yeah. Now you're looking at your core platform, and then really, how can I go and embrace cloud technology and plug in these different players to give me one really, really good solution?
It's funny, the our last conversation on camera, that's just on mic actually, but I did my hair anyway. Was about that, was, you know, how to leverage the best of breed stuff, and that definitely, I think again, I'm very lucky. I get to speak to customers every day, all around the world, and that very much is what they're looking to do, to move away from that, taking away complexity where possible, and on almost shipping out that complexity to other people that can do it for them. So
I think
you'd be a great example.
And the great thing is, if we all truly do buy into that, it allows us to be experts in what we do, that little niche that we do, and we can drive our development towards that. We're not trying to do what the people over there are also doing. You know, you just focus on what you're really good at and become part of that. I know it's often used, but that ecosystem that the client then uses.
But I think it's a really good point, because that is, in reality, most good ERP systems, be they from Microsoft or from Oracle or Infor, SAP or whoever else, will do most of what a customer wants. I think one of the strengths of, and obviously I am slightly biased, very biased around the Microsoft stuff, but I think one of the benefits there is really the ecosystem, right? So, and that ecosystem is really deep and wide. So, and that ecosystem could be that I want to implement around the world, and I'm looking to do it in the UK. There's some great partners in the UK. I want to do it in Canada. I want to do it in the US. I want to do it in Australia, wherever it might be. So from an implementation ecosystem, there's partners, but also the ISVs, so that, most people don't wake up in the morning and all they think about is that document output. That isn't, it's not a core part of most people's lives. So to be able to get somebody like you in to really offer advice as well as products, I think is a really great service. And I think that's why a lot of, I'm talking from experience here. We've worked together a long time. So with a lot of great customer wins between us. So it's really good.
I think that's an important point as well, because most of the time we've done what the client's asking for before. So it's not just about the product. It's also about the help that we can give them to get to that end point that they're trying to go. And we can always offer a bit of guidance and advice as we go along. Even though you are ultimately driven by the data that you're taking out of the core platform and what they're trying to achieve, you can also say, look, 6 months ago we worked on a similar project. Have you considered? And that's because we do this day in, day out, a very niche service that we offer, but in great volumes and across every continent.
Yeah. So one of the things when we were talking previously was where you've got customers that are kind of going through that transition, right? Yeah. So they might have, you've already talked about, banking customers that are potentially running mainframe, but that could be the same with a customer. I was on the phone with a customer earlier on today that are on AX 2009, and so proper old school, not quite Concord XAL. please leave a message if you've ever even heard of Concord XAL. but they're moving to D365, but that's going to be a longer journey for them. They want to do it very much in a phased approach. So what with that sort of customer where they'll have potentially, maybe so they do finance as phase one into the cloud, right? So they've got D365 finance, but their warehouse is still running on-prem. What kind of advice would you give to a customer like that? Because clearly you're going to need information from both for that output.
Yeah, sure. I mean, there's one quite basic point and then there's a more involved one. The first one is to keep a clear eye on why you're doing this. Okay. And we often get involved in projects and then we sit on the side a little bit, and it's quite good because we get to watch what's going on there. And all of the best projects do have a clear goal, a defined goal, and one that is brought in throughout the company, but not all of them do. Okay. And we still come across some projects where they're not sure why they're doing this. And like you've just alluded to, it can be because we've got a shaky platform down here that we need to move off. It can be for competitive advantage. It can be because we're rolling out scalability across the whole organization globally. And then you can break that down as well. So looking at our own part of it, often the clients will say, well, we just need really good output. Well, come on, let's try a little bit harder there. What are we trying to achieve here? Is it absolutely critical that we have the best looking communication going out to our end client? Is it because of regulation and that's dictating that we have to work in a particular way? Or is it because that we've got another reason driving us? So as you've just alluded to, we might have multiple input streams and we need to pull them together before we output. So having that clear statement as to why we're doing that is really, really important. in the particular example you gave, I think that the key thing there is to communicate that to someone like us, a vendor like us, because we've seen that before. Okay, so the client doesn't have to give us the answers. Give us the scenario. Give us where you're trying to get to with the output, and we'll be able to tell you the steps that we need to go through to get to that point. So yeah. A lot of it comes down to communication, Richard, right?
It always, it's funny. Right. Most things do come down to communication. Yeah. And look, I think, and by the way, thanks to Mike Rogers for pinging that he does know Concord XCL. So a proper old school Dynamics person there, back pre-acquisition by Microsoft. So there you go. Yeah, look, I think that communication piece, and that again is where picking your partners, either if you're an SI and picking your ISV partners, or if you're an end customer, picking your SI and probably through them, the ISV partners that they work with is really important, because just what we do is more complex than just buying a, you know, the old joke that we're not installing Xboxes, right? It is fairly complex. So I'm being able to lean on somebody like Formpipe to get that advice on how to make this thing what you need it to be. And when we spoke previously as well, you mentioned starting at the end and working your way back.
Yeah,
I thought that was a really good way of looking at it as well.
Well, I mean, first of all, what not everybody realizes is you and I get this, that you have to go through a process to be a partner as well. So you don't just partner with any organization. Yeah. You're going to partner with people who enhance you, what you do. But starting at the end is something that we talk about a lot. And I alluded to it on the last point, really. But what I'd encourage people to think about is think about their ideal situation, how they want their document or their communication to look. You know, if you want it to be in 8 different colors and with a graph and with maybe a voucher somebody can rip off and use in store, you can achieve all of that. But don't be limited by where you've come from. Paint the picture of where you want to go to, almost a panacea here, and enable us to then go back and say, well, actually, we can get 95% of the way there now, and we can then add the other 5% on over time. So do start at the end and think about how your end client, whether that be a retail, you know, a consumer client, or a B2B client, how they want to receive that communication to you. Because right at the start, Richard, you alluded to, often that gets overlooked, when actually that's the sharp end, okay? How your clients see your business or your organization is through that communication or document. So really encourage people to be a bit more ambitious and say, we're trying to achieve this over here, and enable us as the output and document specialist to work back the steps.
Yeah, cool. Good. So I think we've got some clear sort of guidance on how to do this well. Yeah. Is there any other tips you'd like to give people when it comes to document outputs?
Am I allowed to put a sales hat on?
A brief sales hat, but yes.
Just always buy the best that's out there. Over a 3 or 5 year period, buying the best software will be better financially for you, never mind all the other benefits, because that investment does over time pay off, and it saves on the configuration and the time lost on that side of the organization. So, yeah, buy the best possible solution.
Buy it once, buy it well. I think it was probably one of my father's sayings. But, yes, he's got a few other ones, but we'll save for other podcasts as well.
You told me a few. Welsh.
Yeah, well, yeah, as Welsh, love a good saying. So thanks, Ben. That's been, I found that really interesting, and I hope everybody else listening has as well. So like as I mentioned, you've got your own podcast as well. So let's be a bit meta about it and get a podcast to another podcast called Beyond the Document. So please go and have a look at that as well. So thank you very much. Have a look at the Formpipe website. LaserNet is a solution I've worked with for a number of years, and invariably customers really enjoy it. So please have a look at that. Not that this is a sales pitch, but I had to put that in there. Yeah. So thank you very much, Ben. And I hope everybody's enjoyed today. We'll be back next Thursday at 2 p.m. UK time. In the meantime, I hope everyone has a great week, and hopefully we'll have a new Prime Minister by the next time we speak. That'll be a good thing to get done.
Maybe.
Yeah, maybe. Thanks, Ben. Thanks, everybody.
Okay. Thanks, Richard. Bye.